thankful to see each and every one of you. Again, especially those that are visiting with us. We thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come and be with us at every opportunity you have. It's especially good to, again, to see visitors, and it's also especially good to see those that have been sick and not able to be with us for a while. And it's good to see Kathy back with us and that she's having a recovery. And Jack, it's good to have him back with us after a stay in the hospital. So it's just good to be with you and to see each and every one of you. I encourage you to take your Bibles out and follow along with me. Make sure that what I'm saying is in harmony with the Bible. I'll do my very best to give you nothing but book, chapter, and verse for the things that I say. And you feel free to take any notes that you'd like to take that you might know the certainty of the things that you hear this morning. I appreciate Ray doing the good job in the reading he did from Romans chapter 13 and in verse 7. That's going to be the basis for our sermon this morning. Before I get underway, let me give a little friendly reminder to those men that are participating in this upcoming sermon we're working on. If you do not have your second reference, just a little friendly reminder to you to try to get that to me this evening. We'll finish that outline and practice that sermon a few times before you deliver it in a couple or 3 weeks. And I appreciate the encouragement of each and every one of you that are participating in that. I think there's 9, if everyone is still able to do that. And so I'm encouraged by your participation in that. And I know the congregation is encouraged by hearing these young men learn to preach and stand in the pulpit and deliver the sermon as they do. In Romans chapter 13, verse 7, I just want to reread it for emphasis. Ray did a good job in it, but I want it before our minds again. Romans chapter 13 and in verse 7. Paul writes to the saints at Rome and he says this: "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." I want us to think about honor to whom honor. You may already be aware of the fact that the Bible points out very simply in the New Testament that there are a number of individuals that we are to honor. Now, if I were to ask you, who are we to honor, you'd probably be able to come up with several of them. Probably the most familiar one that comes to mind when we think about those to whom the Bible says we are to honor is going to be our first point this morning, found in the book of Ephesians. And so come with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and notice what Paul says beginning in verse 1. I mentioned this to you last week, but it bears repeating as it's a point in our topic this morning. As we think about honor to whom honor, notice Ephesians chapter 6 and then verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It's the right thing to do. And so I hope that all, especially our young people, are interested in doing what's right. Are you? Shake or nod. Now, this way. We're interested in doing what's right. And if we are, then we've got to listen to our parents and obey them. More of our young people in our country today could use a good dose of this scripture reading. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now watch verse 2. "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." Someone says, "Well, I won't listen to what Paul said." I hope that's not your mentality. I recently mentioned to you the fact that it won't do to say, "I won't listen to Peter, James, or John, or Jude, or to what Paul said," because they wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Paul said in places like 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, "If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." And so we best listen to what the Bible writers have to say. But he's not the only one that said, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Notice, if you will, in the book of Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 4. Jesus said, "For God commanded." Now, Lord, I'm interested in knowing what God commanded. We'll keep reading. "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death." A passage taken from the Old Testament. Honor thy father and mother. God has always expected that children honor their father and mother. How are we doing on that? Are we honoring our father and our mother? You know, to honor means to place valuation on something. It means that something is valuable in our sight, that it's important to us. How important are our father and our mother? Someone once said before, a lot of truth in it, you probably never realize the value and worth of your parents until they're gone. But I hope you see the value of your parents, and so much so that you will honor them. But also I want us to go to another individual that we are to honor. The Bible teaches us, and it would be point 3 on your outline. We'll come back to point 2 at the last of the sermon if you got an outline in the back. But the Father, in the book of John chapter 5, John chapter 5 verse 22, Jesus says that the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Now watch verse 23. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. You know, a lot of folks will say, well, I honor God, I love God, but you know, I don't believe everything that Jesus said. Well, that won't do. Because Jesus said if you don't honor Him, then you don't honor the Father, the one that sent Him. We must honor the Father. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, and in verse 16, as Paul is writing to young Timothy, he penned this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and in verse 16, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. Now watch this. To whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And then I bring you over to the book of Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure, the King James Version says, the American Standard Version says, and by Thy will, but for Thy pleasure or by Thy will, they are and were created. Do you honor, do you value our Heavenly Father? You may say, preacher, why on earth should I value Him? Well, think about what He's done for us. He bestowed His grace upon us whereby we can be saved. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Sent His Son into the world, there, which was His grace. John chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. Gave us His written word whereby we can know what we must do in order to be right in His sight. 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17 talks about that. And the list goes on what God has done for us. We need to honor our Heavenly Father. But also I want you to notice what the Bible says. Again in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 17. Peter writes, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Honor the king. After saying, fear God. And we'll come back to that, honor the king. But notice he says, first of all, honor all or all men. Do you value all men? You know, sometimes individuals want to only value people who are kind to them. People who will do them well or wish them well or mean well toward them. And so they kind of shun their enemies. They don't much value them. Well, I may not value their actions, but I need to constantly remind myself, as you do, all of us do, that there is worth in every single human being. Are we on the same page? We are created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. God placed within every individual a soul. Genesis 2 and in verse 17, the soul of man will live for all eternity when this life is over, and we should want all to go to heaven as we want to go to heaven. And so we need to honor, value all men. In Romans chapter 2 and in verse 10, and Paul is writing to Christians. He's writing to the saints at Rome. He identifies in Romans chapter 1 verse 7. And in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 10, notice what he says. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. And he's talking about when the judgment comes. Those that do wrong and so forth, that are contentious and do not obey the truth, unto them wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. Do you value all men? You know, there are some individuals that folks won't even talk to, much less value and honor. We've got to be careful as Christians that we don't hold grudges against people that'll weigh you down in this life. Life's too short to hold grudges toward individuals. Turn loose. Be like a duck and let like the water running off its back. Just learn to turn loose and to live your life right in the sight of God and to love all people. But also when you come to 1 Timothy chapter 5, as we think about honor to whom honor, we talked about honoring father and mother, honoring our Heavenly Father, honoring all men. Now notice what Timothy states, or Paul does rather, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 3. 1 Timothy 5 verse 3. Honor widows. See how simple that is? Honor widows that are widows indeed. Now he talks about two different types of widows in this passage. Widows indeed, and then younger widows. And he talks about, if you come down to verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed, and he begins to talk about what she does, desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications, and prayers night and day. And then notice verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. He talks about her good works in verse 10 that she did. And what he's talking about here, that widows indeed are those widows who meet these qualifications that he's talking about, who are to be cared for on a continual basis from the treasure of the church. That's what he's talking about. But there are other widows that don't qualify for that. Doesn't mean we can't help them. But he's talking about on an ongoing basis he talks about. Then if you will, notice verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. I want to make a brief comment about verse 16 while we're here, because it's important and you need to see it. Some individuals fail to recognize the difference between what the individual can do and what the church can do. And as a result of that, individuals in our society today, religiously speaking, thinks that whatever the individual is doing, then it's the church doing it. That's not the case. You can do many things as an individual, and it's not the church collectively acting. Are you aware of that? I hope you are. I can do many things that God allows me to do, but just simply because I do them doesn't mean that it is a collective church at work. You see that point? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16 is probably one of the best Bible references to underscore that there is a difference between individual action and church action. Now read that again with that in mind. Verse 16, if any man or woman believeth have widows, let them, who? These men or women that have widows. Let them relieve them. Now watch this, and let not the church be charged. That it who? The church may relieve them that are widows indeed. You see that point? Don't fall for this false notion that what the individual is doing, that it's automatically church action. That's not the case. There's many things, again, that me and Tracy can do in the realm of our home. In fact, belongs in the realm of the home that the church has no authority to get involved in. Now think about that. You look out in the religious world today and they're involved in all kinds of entertainment things, and the list goes on and on, of which you cannot point to the Bible for the authority of, because the church is not authorized to do those things, though the individual may very well be able to do them. Honor those who are widows indeed. But also, as we think about those that we are to honor, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. And so we need to honor elders. You know, elders provide an absolutely necessary service to the local church. It's God's arrangement, by the way. Someone says, well, we get by just as fine as if without elders as with them, so we don't need to have elders. No, that's not the case. God said we must have elders. That is, if we want to not be lacking. Someone says, preacher, what on earth do you mean lacking? Well, come to the book of Titus, chapter 1. And notice what Paul wrote to Titus and stated. Verse 5, Titus 1:5. For this cause left I thee in Crete. Now, Paul, why did you leave Titus in Crete? Keep reading. That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. King James Version says it's simply a word that means lacking. Things that are lacking. And ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now that doesn't mean an elder, elders appointed in one city that rule over several or oversee several congregations in that city. Acts chapter 14 and in verse 23 does away with that. They went through and appointed elders in every church. Every church, every local group of God's people is to be overseen by a plurality of men the Bible refers to as elders that must meet the qualifications as stated in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. Elders are important. The Bible talks to us and teaches us that they are teachers. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2, that's one of the qualifications that they must be men who are apt to teach. Able to do that. Titus chapter 1 verse 11 informs us that elders are mouth stoppers. Some that Paul was talking about, their mouths needed to be stopped. In the context, they was talking about the work that the elders provide. They're flock feeders. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Acts chapter 20 verse 28, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2 talks about that. They watch for your soul, remember that? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit to them, for they watch for your soul. They're soul watchers, Hebrews 13, 7. And they are example setters. 1 Peter chapter 5 and then verse 3. Not as being lords over God's heritage, but being example to the flock. You say, preacher, we don't have elders right now. Well, I'm aware of that. But listen to me. Solve that problem. Solve it. Get together and put in place those things that are lacking or wanting. Problems like that, by the way, don't take care of themselves. You got to solve that problem. If that's an issue here and we don't have elders, we need to work to have that. Now, you sit in a good position before we go on because you have men who, several men in time to come, that will make good elders. You've got to solve that problem. You've got to get on the same page with that. If not, you'll continue to lack or to want in that area. Honor those elders, for they watch for your soul. But also in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Here he's talking about the relationship of a master and a servant. Sometimes the Bible talks about the relationship of slaves and slave owners. And he talks about the responsibility that the master has and that of the servant has. You say, preacher, how would that be applicable to us today? You need to learn to be a good employee. Have a good work ethic. And do that which is right as you serve and you work. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 22. Colossians 3 and in verse 22. You don't want to be in a position of stealing your wages, do you? You want to work for what you have and do that which is honest. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Work hard. Be honest, knowing that what you're doing, it is to the Lord and not unto men. But also the Bible talks about someone else that we are to honor. Now, I invite you to come with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 17. Chapter 2 rather. 1 Peter 2 and then verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We recently talked about this in a sermon. Do we realize that the Bible says that we must obey those who are public servants, who are those of authority in our land, our law makers and so forth? Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 talks about that. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there be no powers that be that are ordained of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore that resisteth the power or the ordinance resisteth God. God put in place civil government. We ought to be thankful for that. Someone says, preacher, what if they tell us to do something that's contrary to the Word of God? Then obey God rather than man. Acts chapter 5 and in verse 39. But when those laws and those rules and regulations don't conflict with the Word of God, then obey them. Because God expects us to do that. But also, come with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And notice, if you will, what the Bible says as we think about those that we're to honor. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with him according to knowledge. Now watch this. Giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know, a lot of times individuals get caught up on this phrase, as unto the weaker vessel. Well, what's he talking about, weaker vessel? Mentally? I don't think so. Sometimes women are mentally stronger than men. Could it be physically weaker than a man? In a general sense, women typically are weaker physically. But you know, regardless of what is meant by that phrase, as unto the weaker vessel, changes not one iota about what he just said about giving honor unto the wife. That's what he's saying. And he's not saying make her deserve it, make her earn it. He's saying, husbands, give honor unto your wife. She is valuable. Hence the meaning of the word. She is valuable. She's worth something. Ought to be in your sight. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul numerous times in that chapter makes mention of loving your wife. In Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. One more point. Honor to whom honor? How much honor do you give to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Again, I invite you to come with me to the book of John, chapter 5, and in verse 23. We read this moment ago as we talked about giving honor unto the Father. John chapter 5, and in verse 23, that all men should honor the Son. What kind of worth and value do you place upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Left the glories of heaven to come to this world and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary so that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. Do you value Him? In the book of 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 14, and we have seen and to testify that the Father sent the Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. He died on the cross that you might live. Have you obeyed? Someone may say, preacher, how do I obey? You may be in this audience this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Well, you become a Christian by doing what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. It never changed. You can hear a lot of different plans of men that they say that you're saved by. We're not interested in plans of men, are we? We're interested in what the Bible says to do in order to become a Christian. You do that by hearing the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repenting of your sins, that means you change your mind about what you've been doing and you do what's right. Stop, cut out your wickedness and do what's right in the sight of God, without which we'll perish, Luke 13:5. Confess your faith in Christ, that He is the Son of God, like the Lord commanded in Matthew 10:32. We have a perfect example of that in Acts 8:37 when the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be immersed, baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and in verse 38. When you do that, God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. You'll be raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, added to the church by the Lord Himself. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 47. Maybe you have done that, but you've not been faithful. You turned your back on the Lord. You come to yourself and you want to be restored to faithfulness. You want to come back home. God's made provision for that, that you can repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession to God in prayer. We have His assurance He'll forgive us. 1 John 1 verse 9. Don't delay. Come forward right now.